Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill.
We are back. It's 13 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Let me tell you who our special guest is this hour. Sheree Carter Scott has been with us before. She's a corporate trainer and management consultant. She is the chairman of the Motivation Management Services Institute. She has worked with over 200,000 people worldwide, leading seminars on self-esteem, communication, and leadership skills, as well as team building. She's the author of the book that I have in my hand called If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, which are based on the 10 Rules for Being Human, which she authored many years ago, 25 or so years ago, when she was only six. And she finally came out of the closet as the author of these, and we'll get her to remind us about that story in just a minute. Sheree Carter Scott, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to be back with you, and good to have you back on the show. Quickly, I want you to tell the story, because I know the people who heard you the last time heard it, but it's a good story. Tell us again how you identified these 10 rules and why you were in the closet as the author for so long.
I was sitting with a colleague of mine, and she turned to me and she said, you know, when you get a car, they give you a car manual. Something goes funny with the car, a light goes on the dash, you look up in the manual, and you can find out what's going on, but being human is not so easy. And I said, I know, it's really tricky trying to figure out the game. And she said, I wish we had some kind of a, I don't know, list or rules or something. And I said, the rules for being human. And she said, where would you start? And I said, I'd start with a body. Because when you play Monopoly, you get a Scotty dog or a top hat or an iron. But when you play the game of life,
I always like the race cars myself.
The race cars, yeah. but the game of life, you have to have a body to maneuver about the board game.
That's right.
And so that was the first rule for being human. You'll receive a body. And then they just started cascading themselves onto the paper. And there they were, 10 of them, universal truths, simple and pure. And they were included in the course that we were teaching on consulting skills or coaching skills. One person photocopied the list and passed it on to another, who passed it on to another, until all of a sudden they had circumnavigated the globe, and in 1993 they were on 66 websites.
Wow. And in, and also, I think Ann Landers printed them once. And
Ann Landers printed them something.
But now, but none of this was ever attributed to you.
No, it was anonymous, which was really metaphoric of my life.
but then, finally, when they were published officially in the book, the Chicken Soup for the Soul book.
Yeah, on page 81.
Yeah, someone told the author of that book, who turns out was a friend of yours, unbeknownst to him, you were the author, and they told him that, or you told him, I guess, that you were the author.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing, because a friend of mine, Dan Millman, called me and said, you wrote these, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you think it's time you got credit? And I said, well, you know, if people are getting value, it's not a big deal. And he said, it is a big deal. Now stop being silly. He called Jack Canfield, and he said, Sheree Carter Scott wrote these rules, and you should give her credit. Jack called me, and he said, did you? And I said, I didn't. He said, well, you got credit in the next printing. And then people started calling me and saying, I want to use your rules as a skeleton for a book I want to write. I thought, wow, what an idea. How do I choose just one person?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was as if it hit me. I was, guy, I guess I'm supposed to write this.
I'm the person, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, and we're glad you did. And folks, this has become one of my favorite books. You've heard me talk about how I collect these books that we review on the show, and as you know, folks, you know that that I don't bring any authors or any books on the show that I feel aren't worthy of your time and your money. I review them and make sure that they're, and I'm justified in offering them to you, because you've got only got so much time and so much money and so many resources, to be able to read and study. But I do recommend this book to you. If life is a game, these are the rules. And Sharique, we've been earlier when you were with us before, we talked about the first five. Number one, alternate with me here. You will receive a body, as you said. Go ahead.
You'll receive
two.
A body. You may love it or hate it, but it'll be yours for the duration of your time here.
All right. You will be presented with lessons.
Yes. You are enrolled in a full-time informal school called Life, in which there will be lessons to learn. You may love these lessons, or you may hate them, but they're yours to learn for the duration of your time here.
There are no mistakes, only lessons.
Yeah. You can think of your the things that you do as mistakes, but in truth, they're a way for you to learn something about life. And growth is a process of experimentation. A series of trials, errors, and occasional victories. The failed experiment is just as much a part of the process as the experiment that ultimately works.
Which leads us right into number four, lessons are repeated until learned.
Don't you love that one?
Yeah. Or don't I know about that?
Lessons will repeat to you in various forms until you have learned them. And when you've learned them, you can then go on to the next lesson.
Number five, learning does not end, and that is so true.
There is no part of life that does not contain lessons. If you're alive, there are lessons to be learned.
And you know, Sheree, one of the things that makes me love life is I love to learn. I just can't seem to get enough. I can't seem to know enough stuff. I like that. That's one of the things that I enjoy so much about what I do. I get to meet so many cool, highly intelligent, active, full of energy people that have got so much to say, and they teach me so much. And to me, that's the way to enjoy life, is to always be curious, to always be inquisitive, to be a sponge for knowledge.
Well, it seems to me like you have just given us the perfect lead-in to rule number seven.
We've got to go there before we go to six?
Yeah, well, let's do seven first, because that's the perfect intro.
Okay, you're the boss.
And rule number seven is others are only mirrors of you.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't recognize those qualities in other people unless they were inherently in you. You can't love or hate something about another person unless it reflects something you love or hate about yourself.
Hmm.
So to the degree to which you are open to and excited about learning about life and about other people and eager, that just reflects back your eagerness about life.
Hmm. Well, thank you for that. Sharique Carter-Scott, ladies and gentlemen, that's the voice and the vision of Sharique Carter-Scott, the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. It's 20 after. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the remaining five rules for being human from the person who wrote them. If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, Sharique Carter-Scott. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If the 10 rules for being human that you may have seen in an email somewhere or in Chicken Soup for the Soul on page 81 or in Ann Landers, if those rules meant anything to you, give us a call, and I have the author and the originator, the person who wrote those 10 rules, Sharique Carter-Scott, our guest this hour, and she's the author of the book, If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. That was one of the main things I wanted to tell you today, is that you can buy this book. You can get the book that's written based on those 10 rules that may have meant so much to you 10, 15, 20 years ago. And this book is available all over the place, right, Sharique?
It is, everywhere.
Tell us.
Well, the problem is it's very often sold out.
That's a high-class problem.
Well, because it goes very fast.
Yeah. But they can get it online.
They can get it online, sure.
Right, and from any of the online bookstores, probably.
And every major bookstore in America has had it, if they can hold on to it.
Now, there is another book that is actually just out. In fact, I have my advanced copy of it, and it's called If Love is a Game, These Are the Rules. 10 Rules for Finding Love and Creating Long-Lasting, Authentic Relationships. And you used a term that I had not thought about, but I guess it fits. What did you say about the book?
I said it was yummy.
Yummy.
I like that.
After you've gotten your business together and you're successful and you're doing well, you want to be able to have someone to share it with.
Well, you know, you mentioned the success word. I define success on a lot of different levels, and I encourage my audience to do that as well. Success is not about stuff. And you have to have love in your life, in my opinion, to be success, and lots of different kinds of love. You know, we've got Eros and Philo and all the other different kinds of love that you have in your life, with your friends and your family and your associates and just human beings in general. The world around you, you have to have that. And so I'm looking forward to getting you back on the show to talk about your book, If Love is a Game, These Are the Rules. But let's get back into Chapter 7. We skipped 6 for a second, folks. Don't worry, we're coming back. But we're talking about if number 7, rule number 7 is others are only mirrors of you. One of my friends, Noah St. John, in his book, Permission to Succeed, talks about one of the ways to get permission to succeed is to find what he calls loving mirrors around you.
That's nice.
And he's talking about, you know, people who are basically what you were saying a minute ago about finding people who can reflect positively back on you.
That's a really good way of looking at things, because once you find your positive mirrors, you stop being in a state of frustration or anxiety or anger all the time. You start being in gratitude and compassion and enthusiasm, because those people around you are energizing you. They're exciting you.
Talk to us about tolerance with regard to having mirrors.
Well, you know, I mean, it's very easy to be judgmental. When somebody pushes your buttons or you look at someone and you say, I would never be that way, and that's horrible, maybe you don't allow yourself to be that way because you shut off that part of you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a man in my seminar just recently who said to me, I don't get that other people are mirrors of me. There are a lot of jerks out there, and I'm not a jerk. And I said to him, I said, now, just let me ask you one thing. Do you ever allow yourself to be obnoxious? No. Do you ever allow yourself to be a pain in the neck? Never!
As he's being one.
I said, do you ever allow yourself to... And we went on this train of thought, and finally I said to him, I said, you might consider allowing yourself to have those parts of you, because right now you're a little bit rigid.
Yeah.
And I said, so the more that you're around people that bring up those parts of you that you don't allow, the more judgmental you become. Well, he kind of looked at me like I caught him with his hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah. Yeah, you boxed him in. I bet he didn't like that, though.
Well, he kind of looked sheepish with me. You know, it's like,
yeah. Well...
And I said, you know, being obnoxious is just obnoxious. It's not necessarily evil. It just means being obnoxious.
What about healing in this mirror chapter? You talk about healing.
Well, healing is very important to be able to get on in life with what you're here to do. And if you carry around the old wounds and the old baggage and the hurts, it's as if you have a chip on your shoulder moving into new endeavors and new activities.
It's hard to have tolerance without healing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stand by, Sheree. Folks, Sheree Carter-Scott is our guest and our good friend. She is the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. We're going through the last 5. 6 through 10, and we're going to finish those up as we move on into the hour. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us, ask a question, make a comment, talk to Sheree Carter-Scott, is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. We're visiting with our friend Sheree Carter-Scott. She is the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. That book has been out for a little while now. It's available in bookstores all over the place, as well as online. And her new book, which is just now out, is called If Love is a Game, These Are the Rules, 10 Rules for Finding Love and Creating Long-Lasting and Authentic Relationships. That book is it available everywhere now, Sheree?
It should be by the 12th of October.
Okay. Look for that, folks. That sounds like a great book. Both of these actually sound like great books for the holidays to give us as gifts. And also, you've got a couple more books that I want to mention, because we're going to get you to come back another day and talk about at least this one that I'm holding in my hand. It's called Negaholics, How to Recover from Your Addiction to Negativity and Turn Your Life Around. Will you come back another day and talk to us about that book?
I will, Jim, because it's being reissued, and so it should be republished around the beginning of the century.
The turn of the century. That's an interesting. You're the first person to make that date distinction. to talk about when their book is going to be issued. That's great. I like that. But we're going to get you back because I want to talk about that because
okay.
I think that's an important subject. Now, we skipped chapter 6, and we don't want chapter 6 to feel like we're going to leave it. So chapter 6, folks, this is the sixth rule for the rules for being human. There is no better than here.
When you there has become a here, you will simply obtain a new there that will then look better to you than your present here. So the T will come off, and there will become here. Isn't that cute the way that happened?
I love that. And the thing is, you know, this is such an important chapter to me because I used to race through my life trying to get somewhere.
To there.
Trying to get there. And when I'd get there, I'd find out that all the things that I thought would be there when I got there were not there.
As a matter of fact, the rainbow, the end of it disappeared, and my gosh, it's over there now.
That's right. It's this moving target that we're... And so if your attitude in life is to always get to there, then instead of appreciating what you have while you are here, which used to be a there, then you're going to be unhappy for a lot of your life, aren't you?
Well, you'll always be unhappy because you'll be deferring your happiness until you get to there, which is, as you said, the moving target, which you never get to.
Yeah.
And
so,
it's one of my favorites because this is about the elusive dream of when I get to there. And it's when I then I syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
When I have enough money, then I'll be happy. When I find my soulmate, then I'll be happy. When I win the lottery, then I'll be happy.
Yeah. Well, now you know why I was a little panicky a minute ago when you went right to 7. And you did it because I said something that caused you to do that. But I sure didn't want to leave 6 because...
It's one of my favorites.
The sixth rule... I mean, folks, I hate to make any rule more important than the others. But I got to say that for me, you know, for me in my life, especially for the last several years... I could live here. I mean, I could live in this chapter because, one of the important sections of this chapter, Cherie, is the concept of gratitude.
Very important. And most of us, if we're living in the here there syndrome, we aren't grateful for what we have in here and now. We're looking for something bigger, better in our perception,
mm-hmm.
something that's going to make life more enhanced. So we think. And if we're actually grateful for, okay, living in a free country, my health, that I have all my limbs and capabilities, if I do, that I have my faculties, that I can choose. I mean, there's so many things to be grateful for that a lot of us take for granted.
Well, this is such an important chapter for small business owners, Cherie, because we have so many things that are potentially catastrophic in our lives. Every day, every week, every month, every year, I mean...
Ain't that the truth?
I mean, there are things like, you know, the bank called and said, you don't have enough money in the account, you need to put some money in there, I'm going to send your payroll checks back, or your vendor called and said, look, you know, we're not making that thing that you just sold $1 million worth of anymore. Your customer just called and said, you know, that contract we signed, we're not going to live by it. We're going bankrupt or whatever. And there are many, many wonderful things that happen in the life of a small business owner, but there are also a lot of things that go wrong and that are negative. And if you aren't capable of saying, you know, that's a bad thing that just happened and I'm going to deal with that, but at the same time, this is the only October the 4th that I get in my 1999 that I get in my life, and I'm going to stop for a moment and I'm going to recognize that I have some lovely children, I have good health, I have good friends, I have a journey of faith that I'm really happy about, and this other thing that's happened today, that's only today's problem, and I'm going to deal with it, but I'm also going to recognize what my blessings are.
Do you know this
I'm sorry to ramble on there.
No, I think it was great what you said, and I couldn't have said it better. But this month, October, marks 25 years that I have been a small business owner.
Is that right?
25 years we've been a
business. Congratulations. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have gotten large and small and succeeded through 3 recessions. And
yeah.
Almost gone bankrupt because of embezzlement. I mean, we have been through it, and we are still here.
Yeah. And when the what did you do when the times came when things were so bad that they looked like they were going, like you said, you were about to become bankrupt? You had to live in that day. Otherwise, you couldn't just say, okay, I'm looking forward to when I won't be having these financial problems. You've got to enjoy that moment, don't you? Yeah. Stand by. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Sheree Carter Scott, the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us. We are back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our friend Sheree Carter Scott is our guest, and she's the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, 10 Rules for Being Human. And you may have seen these in Chicken Soup for the Soul. You may have seen it on Ann Landers. Someone may have emailed them to you, but now we have the author out of the closet. She has taken credit for it. She's getting credit for it, which is very appropriate, which she didn't do for a long time, which tells you about what kind of a classy lady she is. And she's written a book, If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. And please check this book out. You're going to want this book. This is, and folks, if you show up at the bookstore and they say, okay, we only have a few left, and we're taking them apart, and we're only selling you chapters. And they say, which chapter do you want? Tell them chapter 6. If you're a small business owner, if you're a small business dreamer, tell them, I want chapter 6, and hold out till you get chapter 6.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because people, every time I do a seminar or workshop, I say, okay, who's number 1, who's number 2, who's number 3, and different hands go up on each number, because everybody identifies and connects with a different one.
Yeah.
Now, some people, especially small business owners, have to get number 8. That's a biggie.
Which is where we're going. What you make of your life is up to you.
You have all the tools and resources you need. What you do with them is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you use them wisely, or if you take them for granted, or if you assume that everything is going to be okay, or you do diligence, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really depends on how you use your time, energy, people, and finances.
And there are, and according to M. Scott Peck, the author of The Road Less Traveled, he says that there are two kinds of people. There are the people who take responsibility for their own actions, and they're the kind of people who blame other people.
Yes.
Now, if you're the kind of person who blames other people for what happened instead of taking responsibility, which is one of the sections in this chapter of Sheree Carter Scott's 8th rule, what you make of your life is up to you. If you're the kind of person who blames other people, then you're going to have some trouble.
Well,
not going to be successful. I don't think you're going to be able to be successful in a small business. Do you, Sheree?
I think it's much tougher, because, you see, if you start blaming people, circumstances, situations, what happens to you, there's always somebody to blame. Always.
Yep.
You can always find somebody. But it's that place of stopping and saying, okay, there's a cause and effect relationship here. What did I do to cause this to happen? I didn't do anything. I'm an innocent victim. I didn't do a thing.
Right.
Of course you didn't. But what could you you have imagined that you did that might have? And that's the place where it can turn the situation around, if you're willing to consider that possibility.
When I was in the Army, I learned something that really helped me a lot. I think I'm the kind of person inherently who takes responsibility. I think I've demonstrated that. But I learned something in the Army that helped me a lot, and it was this phrase. As a commander, as an officer, they taught us to understand that we are responsibility, that I am responsible for everything that my unit does or fails to do. And, you know, one of the things, whenever I lapse into wanting to blame somebody else, having a little pity party or something like that, I remind myself of that. I am responsible for everything my organization does or fails to do. If I'm the owner, that's the way it is.
It's true, and it's a really tough lesson to get.
It hurt. It's painful, because the solution is to look inward, isn't it? The solution is to look at yourself.
Well, really, to look closely at what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're intending. I mean, all the different aspects. You know, what message you're sending out.
Which moves us into chapter 9, rule number 9. Your answers lie inside of you.
All you need to do is look, listen, and trust. Which means that intuitively, you know inside yourself what's right, the right action, the right thing to do. But sometimes you're just eclipsed by the confusion, doubt, uncertainty, and fear. And so it's scary sometimes to know the right thing because it takes courage, as you said, to do the right thing.
Well, and you have to think of improving yourself, which is what this subject is all about. You've got to look at improving yourself by the way you look at getting more physically fit and in better health, is because you've got to realize that there's going to be a little pain before you have the gain.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree with me?
I absolutely agree with you. It's the challenge of listening to your inner wisdom. Because sometimes, I mean, I remember when, and it was back in 80-something, and everything around us was saying, give it up. Give it up. Put it to bed. My ex-husband, my advisors were all saying, you know, you should declare Chapter 11 and just get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. No, we're going to fight this one.
I was given that advice once.
We're going to stay in here, and we're going to bounce back. We're going to pay off our debt structure. We're going to do due diligence. We're going to do what we need to do. Because we had taken over this building. It was a huge building. We had done, it's a long story, but we were going to lose our shirts on this building.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally said, we are not giving up. We are staying here, and we're going to go through this one. And we're going to win. And we did.
I like that attitude. I really do. Folks, that's number nine. And number nine is all the answers lie inside of you. We're going to take a quick break. And as I promised you, we were going to get all through the rest of the five, down to the last one, which is number 10. You will forget all of this at birth. And we're going to get Sheree Carter Scott, the author of this book, to tell us what that means in a minute. If life is a game, these are the rules. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back with our friend Sheree Carter Scott. In case you wondered whether James Pearson, one of the best producers in the business, doesn't pay attention to the show, that tells you right there, Sheree Carter Scott, that he pays attention. Great music, James. Thank you. Sheree Carter Scott, folks, she is the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. That's a book that's out right now, the brand spanking new one coming out any day now, actually, in about a week or so, I think, everywhere. If Love is a Game, These Are the Rules. She's also the author of Negaholics, How to Recover from Your Addiction to Negativity and Turn Your Life Around. Is that available now? I know it's coming back out.
I don't think it's available at this moment.
Because
I keep trying to get copies. They keep telling me that it isn't out yet.
But you're reprinting it.
Yes.
Okay, good. And folks, Sheree's coming back, and she's going to do an anniversary show with me in November, which will be her 25th anniversary and of her company. And that is that she's going to be here on the week that is this show's second anniversary. And I'm looking forward to having you back, and I think that's what we're going to talk about.
Anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Let's finish up the hour by talking about rule number 10. You will forget all of this at birth.
And you can remember it whenever you want by unraveling the double helix of inner knowing. Because, Jim,
the double helix, don't say that real fast, the double helix of inner knowing.
Yeah, right. that's about...
Inner knowing.
We call that spiritual DNA, as if each one of us has a physical DNA that dictates our body structure, our hair color, the color of our skin, our teeth. We have a spiritual DNA inside. And if you look and you connect with your authentic self and you realize why you're here, what you're here to do, you'll get some very clear clues of the purpose of your life.
I like this wording here, folks. Remembering and forgetting are the dance of consciousness. I never had thought of it like that.
If you remember, just think of this for a second. If you remembered everything all the time, there really wouldn't be any challenge. And if you forgot everything all the time, there wouldn't be any game. But it's that dance between remembering who you are and why you're here and those moments of temporary amnesia that make the game interesting.
How does faith fit into all this?
Well, you know, each one of us has our own different faith, and that is something that I absolutely respect. For me personally, I think that in the darkest hours, having faith is something that really gets you through.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that calls on a source that's bigger and probably stronger and more courageous than I have in my smallness in those moments when I get scared.
my faith life is very important to me, and my prayer life is as well, and it's what gets me through that, and recognizing my blessings.
Oh yeah.
Those things are teammates in the team that pulls me through life.
Well, I think that, you know, the moments when you forget, when you really kind of give up and you want to say, you know, what's the point? Why bother? It's those anchors around you, those people mm-hmm. that you can turn to who will pull you through and remind you, you know, remember this is what you said you wanted to do. Remember it when everybody's against you and says, it's not possible, you can't, it's hopeless, forget it. Those are the people who say, who remind you of your faith, whatever that is, and what kind of spiritual life that you have, because that's what it takes, is having courage, having faith, having trust when it looks like you're an idiot to even believe in your dream.
The words and the wisdom of Sheree Carter Scott, ladies and gentlemen, the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. Sheree, we got to go. Thank you very much.
We'll see you
in about 6 weeks.
I look forward to it.
Be careful. Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.